Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. That is Makatter, American Greatness, and we're joined by Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We march to the sound of drone explosions. Headlines in these last hours, fog of war. Assassination attempt shows why Iraq must confront Iran. This is an opinion piece, the business section of the Washington Post. Prime Minister Mustafa al-Kadima of Iraq, fortunate to emerge from the early Sunday drone strike on his residence with just a light cut covered by a bandage on his left wrist for his televised speech after the attack. Malcolm, a very good evening. A drone explosive attack on the Iraqi prime minister. There are no claims of responsibility at this point. What is your analysis of why they want to kill the Iraqi prime minister?
Because he's an annoyance and in the way, and he has not sided with them in the way that he wanted. He tried to play all sides, and as you know, with the victory of Bani Sadr in the elections and the Muqtada Sadr and the Iranians really feeling burnt by it, it is believed that the drone used probably came from Iranian-backed forces, militias, that are operative in Iran. We've seen these drones used in Syria and elsewhere. It's the one thing that Iran has really seems to have mastered over the years is the use of the of drones, as we saw in Saudi Arabia. So for them, getting rid of the prime minister Khatami would be beneficial, but it would also be very destabilizing in a country that is unstable as it is. So we'll have to see how plays out. But the prime minister himself has tried to play down. He's called for calm. He did not try to utilize it, neither to gain favor for himself, as he will be running again, but rather try to emerge as a statesman in it. But it certainly turns the attention on Iran again.
Thaddeus?
Well, Malcolm, there's a new U.S. ambassador to Israel, Tom Nides. What can you tell us about him?
Well, he's an old friend of mine and somebody I've worked with when he was in the State Department, deputy under Secretary of State Hillary Clinton at the time. Somebody always very responsive, even if we disagreed on issues, but he was somebody you could work with. He's very intelligent. He's been a banker in the years. He wasn't in the service of government. I remember him from when he worked for Tony Coelho, and then a leader in Congress and many other capacities as he worked his way up. And I think he will be a very prominent presence in Israel. How it will affect the implementation of policy, I think his first challenge will be the consulate issue in Jerusalem. And hopefully he can use his diplomatic skills to work out a resolution and avoid a confrontation there.
Malcolm, speaking of people visiting Israel, there have been some surprise visitors to Israel, haven't there?
Yes, a slew of them, and I think it's really interesting how this confluence of the various visitors. First, the president of Colombia was in Israel. In fact, he's there today, and he led a 95-person delegation, including the ministers of defense and health and trade, environment, as well as businessmen and members of the Colombian Jewish community. But he opened what was most important, the first innovation center abroad of Colombia. They're planning another one in South Korea and perhaps in San Francisco, he said. But that this is to broaden the cooperation. And so he opened a trade and innovation office in Jerusalem, and he joins a few countries that now have such offices or missions in Jerusalem, which is a very important sign for Israel. This is his first visit to Israel, although his predecessor, Jean Manuel Santos, remember, visited as well. And he's visiting the old city and participating in major events, including with the president and the prime minister, before they open the center. And he's considered a really good friend who has tried to advance relationships between Colombia and Israel. And as a key player, he's in South American and Latin American economic affairs, et cetera. This is of great significance. They had the first free trade agreement, which allowed almost 100% of Colombian goods to get into Israel without a tariff. Brazil and Honduras also operate trade offices, so this is, you know, a growth of very important presence. The second surprise visitor was the son of Khalifa Haftar, who arrived in Israel on a secret meeting on his way from Dubai to Libya. He stopped and supposedly Saddam Haftar said that who looks to replace his father or the as Libyan president when they hold elections on December 23rd, I think, he offered the prospect of full diplomatic relations of normalization like the Abraham Accords and particularly like Morocco and Bahrain in exchange for support, military support and other aid for Libya in its conflict. As you know, there is a sharp division between the various parties, and with General Haftar is backed by the UAE, Egypt, and Russia, and the militias in Tripoli by Qatar, Italy, and Turkey. So it's a very hot situation. The third visit was a very unusual one of Israeli top military people to the Sinai under the auspices or the context of the agreed activities mechanism, which was set up in 1979 as part of the Israel-Egypt peace treaty. But it was meant to address the issues that are facing Egypt and northern Sinai, where you have the extremist groups, Islamic State and others operative, and Egypt wants to increase the number of patrols and the cooperation with Israel to reinforce the Egyptian military security control over the area. And this was, we don't know the exact number, but for Egypt to increase under the agreement, they have to have Israel's approval, which has been forthcoming almost consistently since they signed the peace treaty, because Israel understands the needs there and the context. Also, a visit is the Emirates flights that began this week from the UAE on a regular basis to Israel, or will be beginning to Israel very soon. So we've had that plus the meeting in Jordan, also just disclosed, of the ministers of economic affairs and trade, the first time in 10 years. I think it's a sign of growing cooperation and willingness to be public about it once again, both for the benefit of both, but also because of the climate in the region now.
Now, here's a mystery, Malcolm, for you to unpack. This is from our colleague of many years, Khalid Abu Toma of the Jerusalem Post. A potential, possible, perhaps it happened, perhaps it will happen, meeting between Dahlan and Abbas, arranged by or in or some way in conversation with Moscow. So we have Dahlan, who has long been exiled from the Palestinians and mentioned as a possible presidential leader for the PA, and the longtime not reelected Mahmoud Abbas, who lives in Ramallah, I believe, but is not seen as the future. So what do you make of this report? Wishful thinking, Malcolm?
No, I think it may be more. First of all, I think it's evidence of the increasing role that Putin is playing in international affairs, whether it's negotiations between Armenia and Azerbaijan over Nagorno-Karabakh, whether it's with Turkey, with everybody across the board. We see Putin's fingerprints in so many places with minimal investment, minimal involvement, but an oversized role. And here Dahlan was in Moscow. He's based in Qatar and the UAE now. He's he was the chief in Gaza until he was exiled. And here he shows up in Moscow. And the thought was, and there's speculation that it's for a meeting with Abbas to try and get a reconciliation. You know, Abbas has tried to resist anybody who would be a potential successor. We know that the officials there, including Lavrov, the foreign minister, and his deputy, Bogdan, have met with members of the Democratic Reform Movement, who are dissidents of Fatah, but also with some of the other groups like Dahlan. So the question is, does this really portend something for the future parliamentary elections? Is there a possibility that they would form some sort of a coalescence? It's very hard to say right now. Abbas wants Russia to back the reactivation of a quartet, if you remember, the UAE, UN, and the as the main broker in the negotiations, as opposed to the United States. And maybe he will pick that up as a price or as a wedge to use. But this is a very interesting development.
And you measure Moscow as a interested party, a third party. What's Moscow's hand in this, Malcolm? They are self-interested.
A world player. He wants to be part of virtually every situation. He's negotiating with Turkey on these arms purchases. He's involved with Iran. He's involved with everybody. You see the leaders coming to Moscow for meetings. I think he plays in what he feels is a void of the United, left by the West, the United States included. He doesn't have the resources to do it. I mean, it's a paper tiger economically, but he leverages, and I give him credit, he leverages this to the maximum.
That is?
Malcolm, there have been recent joint naval exercises between the United States and Israel. What can you tell us?
Yes, the first time under CENTCOM, Israel now is part of, CENTCOM is part of the European command, and we've had the first visit of a carrier to the a naval ship to Eilat, and about 1,000 Marines are operating there for a week in joint exercises. It's very important because they're doing urban and non-urban warfare combat exercises, which both need, and the fact that this is now part of a series of joint operations, have had the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, others, all working together with Israel, let alone the big blue flag operation of multiple countries, including the U.S. Air Force in Israel, just last week. So it's the first time the CENTCOM flag is really flying there, and it's something that the Israelis welcome very much.
This is the amphibious transport dock ship USS Portland transiting, mm-hmm. In this photograph, transiting the Arabian Sea, but making the port call in Eilat on the Red Sea. Malcolm, we turn to Iran, the troublesome, non-transparent, and extremely aggressive Iran. The enrichment game is back on. But we were told, Malcolm, they're going to meet again at the end of this month with the U.S. and other representatives about the JCPOA. Do these two things go together?
They do, because one is the leverage for the other, and it is absolutely right that we see the numbers. And what's important is that these are coming from announcements from Iranian officials boasting of having 463 pounds of 20% enriched uranium, that the stockpiles violate every agreement that they have signed and the promises that they made under the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA, and the fact that they got what they want out of the deal, and now they are exploiting it. They've increased its stockpile of 60% enriched uranium to about 55 pounds as well. And we know that the negotiations beginning on November 29th or resuming on the 29th in Vienna, but the Western powers, including the Europeans, for once are expressing concern and saying the accelerating enrichment not only breaches the agreements, but makes any further agreement almost impossible. So we have, in the past they've denied seeking nuclear weapons and saying they're only using this for civilian energy uses, but that we see now that the breaches are irreversible, as we have contended for a long time, and that the purposes clearly are not just peaceful purposes. They're supposed to be limited to 3.67% enrichment under the agreement. So it gives you an idea of how vast the violation is, and the amounts that we're talking about are pretty astronomical. And they've also advanced in terms of the warhead having been able to shrunk them and having the delivery systems. So on all counts, they're moving the total program ahead, and the IEA is no longer able to monitor it, the International Atomic Energy Agency, because they don't have access, and they say that their activities are no longer, I think the word they used was intact, which is a message that it's no longer functioning.
Final, Malcolm, a minute about Miss Iraq speaking out for Israel and the Miss Universe contest. Can you explain in a minute?
Yes, because Miss South Africa, newly crowned, was looking forward to participating in the Miss Universe pageant in Eilat in December. And the grandson of Mandela was one of those who called for her to boycott it. But the former Miss Iraq, Sara Idan, a courageous Muslim, stood up when she was and embraced the Israeli contestant, urged and made a very important statement about all people of all forms coming together. This is a demonstration of unity and the opportunity to do so. And we hope that the voices of reason and the Miss South Africa will be permitted to attend as she wants.
Malcolm Holmline, Conference of Presidents, Thaddeus McCutter, American Greatness. We turn to the Dusty One with his bag of tricks. Indiana Holmline will be here momentarily. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.